And joining me right now here on the phone line for a special Friday edition, here's my good friend Tim Walters with the Florida Today newspaper. Cue his music.
There's no I in team, but there is in Tim.
How's bowling going on Monday then?
Not very good.
I talk about it on my podcast. On my podcast. Podcast. I love it when a plan comes together.
Tim Walters of Florida Today. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. I'm a little disoriented. I'm not used to being here on a Friday.
I know. We're both exhausted from covering the NFL draft last night. How did it go for you, especially with your Jaguars coverage?
Yeah, I mean, I think they got one of the guys that they wanted anyhow. So, it was a smart move to trade down by Trent Baalke. They also pick up a later round pick and a couple of picks next year. So why not? You know, you never know who you're going to hit on. So I like it. Wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr., exciting guy, good-sized player, just super fast. So it's going to be fun to see how he can be incorporated into that offense with Trevor Lawrence, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, you know, that's Travis Etienne. That's going to be a pretty fun offense to watch as long as they can keep Trevor healthy. And, of course, they went out and got a really good center in free agency, Mitch Morse from the Buffalo Bills. He was actually a really good player, and the Bills hated to let him go, but that was a cost-cutting maneuver. So, you know, Jags are going to replace their struggling center, Luke Fortner, try and keep Trevor upright, and he's going to have this great new puzzle piece to throw to. So excited for the Jaguars.
All right, I'm looking at his draft analysis here, where it's he ran the 40-yard dash 4.33, who led FBS in receiving touchdowns with 17. Do you have, with Trevor Lawrence, Gabe Davis, he's going to come there, you know, former UCF receiver. Do you look at this pick and go like, okay, we're going to plug him in, and he needs to put up big numbers as a rookie, or you're like, let's see him play a couple games?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I always think you got to give these guys a break and see how they can be incorporated. Not everybody can be Puka Nacua. Love saying that name.
Great
but,
name.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to come in and be the, the superstar receiver. This is not just a pick for now. This is a pick for the future. Christian Kirk's only got 1 year left on his contract, so he may be out of Jacksonville after next year. Gabe Davis is not a long-term solution. Zay Jones is only going to be around here for one more year. So they're going to try and lock him in. I think they're going to still try and develop Parker Washington, who they drafted last year and who got to see some playing time. So it's nice to always have some guys in the pipeline that are good receivers, because obviously it's always best to get them when they're young and cheap, because then they become Jamar Chase and they become, you know, in their prime, but super, super expensive. And you usually want to save that money for a quarterback or some form of star defensive end. So, you know, right now it's looking pretty good for the Jaguars, but again, they're going to have to give Trevor Lawrence about $500 million sometime in the next year. So, got to love the economics of the NFL.
We're here with Tim Walters of Florida Today, recapping round one of the NFL draft. I'm asking this to everyone. There's no wrong answers. We had six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. There wasn't a defensive player taken till 15. What does that say about the NFL, Tim?
Well, I mean, it just shows you the premium that's put on getting a young quarterback who's going to be on a cheap contract for up to 4 years, and you're hoping that you're going to hit on the right guy, and if not, you move on after about 2 years, like the Jets are doing with Zach Wilson. I mean, look, you got to know what you got early on. I think the Vikings are going to try that with J.J. McCarthy. He comes into the most ideal situation where you have good receivers, a good running back. You know, they were just missing a good quarterback once Kirk Cousins went down. So, he's set up maybe a little bit more than Caleb Williams with the Bears, better than Drake May with the Patriots. You know, Jaden Daniels, that guy, what did he average, 10 yards a play? He's a zone offense, so he might be able to revolutionize Washington if he doesn't get killed by some linebacker. But, you know, I like the situation, like I said, for McCarthy. But, you know, six quarterbacks and 12 picks just shows you there's a premium on getting a guy on a rookie contract and hoping he can guide your offense in those first 4 years before you have to give him $500 million.
All right, let's go over your thoughts. Where Atlanta, they give $100 million to Kirk Cousins and then draft Michael Penix Jr. That was just shocking. What was your thoughts when that happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things like when you see the Packers take Aaron Rodgers or something like that, where, you know, you've already got your established player and you're wondering why they're taking the heir apparent, especially with this case where you just signed him. But, you know, Kirk Cousins, he is, you know, he's in his mid-30s now. He was injured most of the, you know, season last year with a really bad injury. You know, you sign him to come in and play this year, maybe even 2 years. What's wrong with having Penix sit? I know he's a little bit older. He's like 24. But if you look at his injury cycle, he's had a different injury like every year for five straight years. Maybe he can get healthier to where he might not get injured. He'll learn behind Kirk Cousins for a year or two, and then he'll get his shot. So, you know, I obviously think they probably could have taken a lot of different pieces that weren't a quarterback. But like I said, Cousins is going to cost them a lot of money, and they might be able to get out of that contract after 1 year. So, you know, we'll just see how that works. But, yeah, it was. I think it was shocking. But, you know, hey, Falcons, I hope the owners know what they're doing. If not, maybe they need to hire me.
Oh, okay. And by the way, you're wrong, Jabroni. My Bears with Caleb Williams will be better than J.J. McCarthy. All right? That's my opinion. You're wrong.
We'll have to have a bet when the Vikings play the Bears.
All right. We'll do that. Yeah. I'm very excited. I told this to people last night at my party. The forward pass is coming to Chicago for the first time in 100 years. Okay. It's like so shocking. We're going to throw the ball. Did you like at the beginning where they start the whole thing and it looks like it's Lollapalooza with all these people in the crowd? Then Eminem shows up. I thought he was going to start performing a song like Lose Yourself, and then he didn't. What was your thoughts when Eminem showed up?
Yeah, I was hoping he was going to play instead of that band that was playing all night, I tell you that. Come on, NFL, we can do a little bit better than that. You know, shout out to those people. They worked hard all night. That's a long night. But still, you know, maybe you're going to invest all that money on a halftime show. Bring in a few acts that are a little bit more well-known for, you know, maybe 1 hour each. But, yeah, Mark, it was crazy. Apparently, you know, as what happens with many of these situations, the parking attendants and things are charging, you know, $8,000 a spot, and people can't even pay to park to see this thing. But somehow they jammed in about 250,000 people, so good for them.
Man, my brother has this theory where Roger Goodell, he doesn't want to get booed. So he tries to get, like, they're in Detroit last night. He's like, all right, I'll get Eminem, and then I'll get Calvin Johnson, and I'll get Barry Sanders. So when we all go out there together, they can't boo me. But then they booed him anyway. I like it. I give credit to those Detroit fans, Tim. I do.
Well, you know what he should have done? See, instead of trying to surround himself with likable people, he should have brought out people that they hate worse than him. So then they're going to get jeered much worse than he's going to get it, because he's just a miser NFL owner. You know, you bring up a couple of axe murderers or something like that, you know, they're not going to have a good response.
So, like, you have, like, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre show up, and they're out there. So everyone's like, boo! And then he comes out, and he's like, yeah, get these clowns out of here. Yay! I like it. I do. You get your salaries, you get $40 million a year to be the commissioner. But wherever you go, you get booed. Would you sign up for that, Tim?
Let's see. He also gets a private plane. Yeah, I think I would take that. But you know what my favorite thing about last night was,
what?
Mark? My whole – you might have noticed this with the Jaguars. So this was hilarious.
What?
I actually got tipped off to this earlier in the day, so I was totally prepared for this. For Tony Khan to be wearing the neck brace – making the choice with his father, Shad Khan, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did you notice that?
Yeah, he was in character because didn't he get body slammed the night before?
Yes, so this is great. You can't make this stuff up. This is truly professional wrestling. Jack Perry, the son of Luke Perry, Dylan from 90210,
uh-huh,
he returns to wrestling last night because in real life he got suspended for 8 months for getting in some sort of altercation with CM Punk, right?
Yes.
So he comes back. They're supposed to have mended fences. The suspension is over. He hugs Tony Khan, and then he hits him in the stomach with the microphone. Now, I got to tell you, you got to watch the video. Tony could have sold this so much better because he falls down in a lump as if he'd been hit in the head when he was actually gutted. He should have doubled over. Anyhow, then the Young Bucks, who he started this company with, come out, and you think they're going to help him. And instead, they do this like thing called the Meltzer driver, where one dude holds him like a pile driver and the other goes up to the top turnbuckle and wedges him down. Now, of course, they were very gentle. You don't want to break the neck of a billionaire, but they sold it pretty well. And then after they were chased out of the ring, Shad Khan, the actual owner of the Jaguars, comes out, the concerned father, as AEW goes off the air. So, yes, he was maybe in character, maybe selling the drama. Maybe he really hurt his neck from being pile-driven. But that's just wonderful, because even earlier in the day, the NFL released a statement saying he was questionable to be at the event. So they were in on it, Mark. It's all a big conspiracy.
All right, I'm not going to lie to you. If I was his father, the owner of the Jaguars, I'd be like, you're not going on camera with that brace on. I'm sorry. This is for real now, okay? Sorry.
Well, the best part of it, Mark, look at that neck brace. Number one, that's the type of neck brace that Paul Orndorff wore in 1988. There's been a lot of advances in neck brace technology in the last 35 years. So he's still wearing the, like, if you remember Sweet Chuck from the Police Academy movies, it's like the cheesiest neck brace. And he's just sitting there with his father behind him as they're picking with the number 23 pick after trading down to get Brian Thomas Jr. And he's wearing a frickin' neck brace.
Does it beat during the pandemic when we had that one draft where everyone was at home and they're like, let's go to Bill Belichick at his house. And they go to Bill Belichick and it's his dog in the seat. Do you remember this? That's still the best.
All right. Yes, that one wins. But this is a pretty close second.
I just like it was a dog in a chair and it said Bill Belichick. And this was on national TV. This is one of the great troll jobs of all time. All right. Your New York Jets, what did you do last night in the draft?
Yeah, so the New York Jets, they picked, the number is skipping me. I think it was 10th, if I remember correctly.
Or 11.
They traded down one spot to get 11, that's right. And they took the offensive tackle from Penn State. Not even going to try his name. It's Fashanu.
You know. Yeah, you're correct.
He's 6'6", 312 pounds. You can call him whatever you want. But, it was a good move to move down. You get an extra draft pick out of it again. I think they knew what they wanted, and they knew that an offensive player was going to be taken ahead of them by the Giants. So a little home cooking there in New York, swapping a pick. But, they're going to need some protection for Aaron Rodgers, obviously. And when you get somebody the size of a Sherman tank, I think you're doing pretty well. So, it's never an exciting pick. It's never a sexy pick. But if it's somebody that can stop your quarterback from getting beaten up, then, it's a good pick.
Ricky Pearsall from the Gators. We saw him. We talked about him all last fall. The Niners take him at 31. What did you think of that pick?
Yeah, I like that. And I think they're doing that, obviously, because we're not sure if Brandon Ayuk is going to be around for very long. He could still get traded before the season gets going. And even if he doesn't, you're taking a guy for the future. You're taking a player who has one of the greatest catches I've ever seen where – I think it was against Charlotte last year. A ball was thrown a mile over him, and like an upside-down claw in the claw game, his hand went straight up and snatched that thing out of the air like it was a spear. It was just crazy. So you got to look up video of that if you haven't seen it. But, high-energy player. He was one of the bright spots on a Gator offense that wasn't exactly wonderful last year. And I think next year it's going to be great. He's going to be working with Brock Purdy. He's got, Debo Samuel around him. He's got Christian McCaffrey. So again, he's another guy going to a good setup. Doesn't have to come in and be the hero right away. Got some great guys to learn under, and he's got a bright future. So good for him.
The stat I think I saw is 5 straight drafts the Gators have had a first round pick. That's great and all, but we're not winning the conference. It's a good stat, but what does that mean about the current state of the football program?
Well, we have one first-round pick coming out of Florida. Alabama's got 5. Georgia's got 5. We need more. LSU, they've got a bunch of guys. So, what it tells me is we need multiple first-round draft picks, not one.
Yeah, it's a good point. All right, so here's what was interesting last night. We're here with Tim Walters of the Florida Today. So I'm watching the draft, and then all of a sudden my coworker looks at another screen and goes, hey, what's that Orlando Magic score? How many points did they win by last night? 40? 50? What happened?
No, it was 20-something. I mean, Paolo Banchero absolutely went off. The Cleveland shooting was just dreadful, finally. I've been waiting for that to happen. Those guys can't be that good for that long. But, yeah, Franz Wagner. But, Jalen Suggs, he was really kind of the hero of the night. Yeah. He was the spark plug. While Paolo was scoring great, Suggs was kind of the engine. He had one great steal, took it down for a dunk as well. And so, yeah, I'm glad to see that get, you know, a little bit closer, 2-1. And you still feel like the Magic, they can win that series. It's not like Cleveland is head and shoulders above them or anything like that. So, you know, another home game, which is good. The Magic are actually favored in this game because it is a home game. They're a 2.5-point favorite if you're looking for a little action there, Mark. But I think this is going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. I want them to tie the series up. Again, this is another 1 o'clock game on Saturday, so that's unfortunate. I'm going to have to kind of follow along on the internet because I'm going to be out of town for my daughter's soccer game.
You talk about betting. We're here at Tim Walters. I watched those first two games. They couldn't score. They couldn't shoot from the outside, talking about the Magic. If you're like, hey, Mark, you want to put some money on the Magic for game three? No, I would not have. No way. Remember, they didn't even have the lead in games one or two. Not one lead in, like, what? Like, what are you talking about? 96 minutes of basketball, they did not have a lead in two games. Then they're up double digits. So the question is, do you think they'll win game four, or do you think they're going to blow it?
No, I think they're going to tie it up. I do. I think they're going to win at home. They're so much better at home this year. They love their home fans. I think this one's going to play in their favor. But more shocking to me, Mark, more shocking than what the Magic did, what the Miami Heat did to the Boston Celtics the other night. What did they hit? About 75 three-pointers. It was one of the most amazing just shooting lines I've ever seen in my entire life. And Tyler Hero, who looked dead and left on the bone heap after game one, comes back and leads the way. Jimmy Butler is out. I mean, this has just been something to behold. So, you know, as great as it was to see the Magic, I think they won by 28, you know, just to see the Heat beat the Celtics, which should be a team that should have no problem with this team on the Heat, but they're just scrappy. So look at our Florida teams, Mark. Look at them.
It is wild. It really is. All right, let's just do this. So you say the Magic are going to win tomorrow. They're going to go 2-2. Can they win in Cleveland, though? Because they're going to have to.
Well, isn't that the $64,000 question? Now, they'll probably lose game five and then come home, maybe win game six and have an exciting one in game seven. You know what, Mark? Magic are going to win in seven. I'm a homer.
Right. You're going, all right, if the Heat somehow win this series against Boston, do you blow up Boston? Do you just say, forget it, we're blowing this whole team up? What do you do?
Oh, good grief. I don't know what you do. I mean, you look at Tatum and Brown and say, you know, are these the two guys that can lift us? Or maybe you ship one of them off to Golden State and try and bring in Steph Curry, since that looks like that dynasty's falling apart.
No.
I'd love to play GM in the NBA. I'd go for crazy stuff, Mark.
All right. Here's the hypothetical, Tim Walters. Would you rather be a GM in the NBA or the NFL?
Oh, I'd probably go with the NBA.
Why with the NBA? Yeah.
Because I think I could evaluate the talent of 12 players much better than I could evaluate the talent of 53 players.
I like it. I do. I really do. Now, should I order an 18 Caleb Williams Bears jersey? Should I do it?
Oh, you might as well, Mark. You're going to wear it for at least, what, 2 or 3 years, maybe?
And then I get the next jersey? Is that what you're saying?
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Because, you know, I own a Trubisky jersey, and I own a Justin Fields jersey. Yeah, I'm going to have the Cape Williams. I am. I agree with you 100%. Now, see, that shows you the NFL with these rookie contracts, what you were talking about earlier. If the guy fails, whatever, we'll draft another one. Is that the current state of teams now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Justin Fields is actually a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah.
And I know, again, you didn't have the forward pass ability there, but boy, did they quit on him really quick. And you know what? Why not? You traded away. You got that number one pick from Carolina. And so, hey, Caleb Williams supposedly is going to be this great talent. And, you know, for all indications says, yeah, why not? Heisman Trophy winner 2 years ago. So give it a go. He's obviously, like you said, a much better passer. So let's see what they can do. Now, can he stick around long enough to see that new, what was it, a $2 billion domed stadium there in Chicago, Mark?
$4
billion. $4 billion. Mm.
The governor Pritzker in Illinois, he's like, I don't know if we can do this. Oh, you're going to do it. Okay? You're going to do this. This is going to happen. See, you and me have not talked. This is very key. Every NFL owner wants the new building. They all want a new stadium to look like that Los Angeles building. And it's not just to get NFL football. It's to get the Super Bowl and the Final Four and, you know, the Rolling Stones. And that's what's going to be the norm moving forward. And every stadium's going to look the same. Do you want that to be the future of the NFL, Tim?
No, and that's not going to be the future of the NFL because certain cities will never be able to do that. I mean, look, the Jaguars, they looked at their stadium and what the costs are and the materials and all that and said, you know what? The structure's pretty good. The concrete ain't falling down. I think we can work with the skeleton here. And they're going to, it was initially $1 billion, then it was $1.2 billion, now it's $1.5 billion. So if a renovated stadium with the concrete already, you know, surrounding it and they're going to improve on it costs that much, and the Tennessee stadium was supposed to be $2.2 billion, now it's looking like $2.4 billion. You know, if somebody comes to me, Mark, and says, yes, we want a stadium for $4 billion, I think I would laugh at them and ask them if they're insane. But nowadays, that's the reality. It's all insane. $4 billion just for a stadium.
The Jaguars have the worst stadium in football in the NFL. That's my hot take right now. Do you think they have the worst stadium?
Yeah, most likely. I mean, look, the plan looks really cool, but when you go to that Jaguars stadium, you're just going to roast. And, you know, I know they've made improvements down in Miami. That's another one, too. It's these older stadiums that don't really have any respite from the sun. And that's one of the things that they really want to address, even though the Jaguars stadium isn't going to be closed. It's going to be more of a covered top. You know, this is kind of a thing they do in Europe quite a bit, where the stadium kind of curls over the fans, and it's, you know, not as big of an opening around the top, but it also gives a little bit of shade so people aren't just absolutely dying in the Florida heat. You'd be amazed, Mark, when I go to Jaguars games, the number of people that, you know, have to be treated for heat-related illnesses on any given Sunday because it's just so hot there. So, but yes, right now the Jaguars stadium, it is probably the worst. But, you know, hey, they hope to make it better here in the next 4 or 5 years. And, you know, hopefully Trevor Lawrence will give them the success to warrant that.
If I came to Tim Walters and I came to Tim Island, I was like, Tim, I need $40 for an investment I'm going to do. Would you give me the $40?
Oh, boy, maybe next paycheck, Mark.
All right. Are you going to be watching more NFL draft coverage tonight?
Oh, of course. The Jaguars have plenty more picks tonight, so we will be watching that. But yeah, you know, we got the second and third round tonight, and I believe, what do they have, 2 picks, one in each round tonight, and then the fourth round they have 2, the fifth round they have 2, they got 1 in the 6th, 1 in the 7th. Trent Baalke likes to trade, so I wouldn't be surprised if you see another trade or 2 come out of the Jaguars. If you remember last year, they went into the draft with 9 picks and came out with 13, so they've already improved on their number of picks this year. So, you know, they're going to be looking at defensive backs. They need a corner. You know, they'd love for Kool-Aid McKinstry to drop all the way down to their next pick, but I don't think that's going to happen. So they're going to be looking for somebody there. I thought they might go that direction with their first pick. Instead, they went with a receiver. So now they got to start looking for some defensive help because I think you're pretty solid now on offense, including on your line.
Why is your name not Kool-Aid? Come on. Kool-Aid. I'm laughing trying to say it. Kool-Aid Tim Walters. Come on.
I'd be more like Tang. You could call me Tang Walters.
Tang Walters.
Because I ain't as sweet as Kool-Aid.
Now you're laughing. What's your suit going to be like when you get drafted? What are you going with?
I think mine's going to kind of be a really nice Armani suit that has the pattern of Optimus Prime.
Whoa. Inside or on the actual suit?
On the suit, so I actually, that's a nice robot-looking suit. I've got blue legs. I might even carry a fake cannon with me.
Oh, and the voice of Optimus Prime, your guy Peter, he's going to be there at the table with you, and you'll give him a hug when you go up there to get your hat. How about that?
Yeah, him first, then my mom.
Are you having a big gold chain on?
No, but, you know, I was really digging some of the giant glasses.
Yeah.
And, you know, since Optimus Prime, he kind of had the big blue around his eyes. I think I'd get sunglasses that looked like Optimus's visor.
Wait a minute. Did you, knucklehead, did you see that there is a new there is a new Transformers cartoon movie that's going to come out where it's an origin story where it shows Optimus Prime and Megatron are friends, and then you see why they become enemies. Have you seen this?
Yes. In fact, this one's kind of made more for the kids. My daughter, she's 9, going to be 10 soon, super excited because she shares my love of Transformers. But yeah, it's an origin story. I knew that based on the canon of original Transformers that Prime and Megatron were friends in their early lives when he was Alpha Trion. And you know what? I don't know what Megatron's original name was, but I'm sure it wasn't Megatron. Orion Pax, I'm sorry. That was Optimus Prime. Alpha Trion is like their god. But anyhow, only nerds out there will realize that mistake that I just egregiously made. But yes, and then apparently we'll find out what their falling out is about. Maybe it's over a robot girl. Because isn't that why usually young men fight? So why not young men robots?
I love you're like, this one's geared towards children. No, it's not. It's for nerds like you. Okay. Tim Walters, Florida Today newspaper. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, Autobots, transform and roll out.